This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Hello and welcome to Get Fit Guy. This is Kevin Don. Welcome back to regular listeners and welcome to new listeners. If you are new here, no need to adjust your sound. I am Scottish. Now, this week, I'm going to address something that I hear from time to time, and that is that body mass index, BMI, is a myth. And if you are muscular, play sports, it doesn't really apply to you. I've heard in the past powerlifters, rugby players, and even judo players talking about how being bigger is just part of the game. Sometimes I feel like, nah, you're just not a rugby player. You know, you're just too lazy to do cardio. So is there a relationship between BMI and your health? What about other factors like waist circumference? So sit back, relax, and enjoy as I take as deep a dive into the subject as 10 minutes will allow, which isn't really very deep at all. So first things first is let's break down what waist circumference and BMI actually mean. So waist circumference measures the distance around your waist, and it should be taken just above your belly button. And it's a powerful but pretty simple indicator of visceral fat levels, which is the fat that builds up in your abdomen around your organs. It's been linked to various health risks like heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So larger waist usually means that you've got excess fat inside, around the organs, and even in the organs. And if this happens in the liver, for example, then fat and blood sugar levels rise. This is the cause of increased risks of metabolic diseases. So what would be considered to be a large waist size? Well, according to the British Heart Foundation, then for men, a low risk waist circumference would be anything below 37 inches, and for women below 31.5 inches. However, it should be noted that for men of African, Caribbean, South Asian, Chinese, and Japanese origin, then the waist circumference would actually come down to 35.4 inches to be low risk. And for women in both categories, 31.5. So the ethnic differences here are because in those latter groups, men seem to carry more fat but less muscle at the same body weight as those of white European descent. And therefore, risks begin at a lower weight gain. And that's from studies done at the University of Bristol for the British Heart Foundation. Now, on the other hand, BMI is a numerical value which is calculated by dividing your weight in kilograms or pounds, I guess, by your weight and height in meters squared. And it provides a general indication of whether you're underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese. And it's a widely used screening tool, but it's important, yes, to note that BMI does not distinguish between the types of mass. So it doesn't tell the difference between muscle mass and fat mass, which can lead to misinterpretations for individuals with high muscle mass. However, this is where there's a relationship between BMI and waist circumference. So the normal BMI range should be 18.5 to 24.9 for both men and women. My BMI is 28.4, which puts me firmly into the category of being overweight. However, my waist circumference is 32 inches, which puts me 5 inches below the upper limit for low risk. So when you combine these two pieces of data, rather than looking at them standing alone, then you can see that my high BMI is not due to body fat, but due to muscle mass. So if you find that your waist circumference and BMI are outside of both these parameters, then you might want to address the problem.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
So let's talk about the nitty-gritty here. How do waist circumference and BMI relate to health? Research has shown, as I said earlier, that excess abdominal fat, as indicated by increased waist circumference, is associated with a higher risk of developing chronic conditions like cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and insulin resistance leading to diabetes. Similarly, a high BMI has been linked to increased risk of various problems such as diabetes, certain cancers, musculoskeletal disorders, but it's essential to remember that BMI is just one piece of that puzzle and needs to be interpreted alongside other factors such as genetic history, overall health, and your lifestyle habits. If you want to know your BMI, you can very easily use a completely free online calculator. And if you want to know your waist circumference, well, you just measure it. Simples. So what about if your BMI is just far too high? So now we understand the waist circumference and BMI importance. What about those practical steps that you could take to lower these and improve your overall health? So as always, we should just deal with evidence-based recommendations rather than fads on TikTok. And the first one is a balanced diet. Okay, so I want to just say here that anything where you have suddenly thrown yourself to one end of a spectrum of nutrition isn't balanced by definition. You have to be in the middle to be balanced, right? So focus on consuming a balanced diet, which is rich in all macronutrients. So you need some carbohydrates and some proteins and some fats. Don't anybody send me a message to say there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate, which I've heard recently, because there is. It's called fiber, right? So focus on getting fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. If you don't know what a healthy fat is, I don't know what to tell you at this point. It's pretty obvious that healthy fats come from things like avocados, eggs, nuts, and unhealthy ones are the ones that you dunk your fries in to make them crispy. All right, opt for anything nutrient dense that provides essential vitamins or vitamins for British people, and minerals without excess of calories. That comes from the Journal of Medicine of New England. All right, so regular exercise is next. Incorporate regular physical activity into your routine, aiming for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise per week. And you've got to include a combination of strength training, cardiovascular, and mobility or flexibility to improve your overall fitness. Okay, and that comes from a study done in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Just hitting you guys with the citations this week in case, you know, any of the haters email in. Where did you get that information? It's called reading. Next is mindful eating. Practice mindful eating by paying attention to your hunger and fullness cues. Avoid eating in front of a TV screen while you're distracted and savor each bite by chewing it slowly and mindfully. This helps to prevent overeating and promotes a healthier relationship with your food than just piling it in while watching your favorite show. That comes from a study called Mindfulness-Based Eating Awareness Training for Treating Binge Eating Disorder. Next is adequate sleep. Make sure you prioritize getting enough sleep each night, aiming for 7 to 9 hours for adults. Poor sleep can disrupt your hormonal balance. This will increase appetite and contribute to weight gain. Establishing a relaxing bedtime routine, see last week's episode 674, create a comfortable sleep environment and limit caffeine and screen time before bed. I wouldn't even say limit caffeine before bed, but caffeine's got like a 12-hour half-life. So that should tell you that if you're going to bed at, you know, 10 p.m., that you probably don't want to have any caffeine at least after midday. I don't have caffeine after midday. Next up is stress management. Find ways to reduce your stress. Pretty simple again. Chronic stress can trigger emotional eating. That can lead to weight gain. In fact, it will lead to weight gain because that's the law of thermodynamics. Practice relaxation techniques such as deep breathing, meditation, yoga, tai chi. There's lots of different things like that. Even on YouTube, you can find, you know, breathing exercises just to reduce stress. Good for you. Engage in activities that you enjoy. Spend time outdoors. Cultivate supportive relationships with your friends and your family. And that study is stress and body shape. Stress-induced cortisol secretion consistently greater amongst women with central fat from the Psychosomatic Medicine Journal. And there you have it. Waist circumference and BMI serve as valuable tools in assessing health risks associated with excess weight and abdominal fat. By understanding the significance of these metrics, adopting practical lifestyle changes, you can take proactive steps to improve your health and well-being. Any questions? Email me, getfitguy@quickanddirtytips.com. Get Fit Guy is a quickanddirtytips.com podcast. Thanks to the team at Quick and Dirty Tips, Morgan Christensen, Holly Hutchins, Director of Podcasts, Brennan Gutches, Davina Tomlin, and me, Kevin Don. If you have a question, leave me a voicemail at 510-353-3104. Send me an email at getfitguy@quickanddirtytips.com. For more information about the show, visit quickanddirtytips.com. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's PAYCOR.com/leaders.